Psalms chapter number 90. We've had some wonderful times here at the House of Prayer, haven't we?
Amen.
My. Some precious memories. Wow. Psalms chapter number 90. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength sought labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Heavenly Father, help me to preach tonight to my friends here at the House of Prayer. I covet that anointing that only you can give. Sure would like to help somebody tonight, Lord. I sure would like to be an instrument in your hand to preach to this congregation. I feel like the prophet. I say, woe is me, for I'm undone. But God, I'm not asking you to help me just for me tonight. I'm asking you to anoint me for the sake of this congregation, for the sake of our young people, for the sake of moms and dads with children in this church, for the sake of the future. That's why I plead for your anointing on my life. I beg you, God, to anoint the ears to hear. I beg you, God, to open the eyes to see what you'd have to say to the church tonight. Let your word not return void. Fill these altars, God, with our young people from the front to the back, with moms and dads weeping, crying, feeling the presence of God. God, I can't thank you enough for what you've done, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. I plead again, God, I beg you to help me, to anoint me tonight. I'll be behind the cross. Let nobody see me. Let me say only what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. God, let the words come from you to me and flow through me to this congregation. May I be your mouthpiece tonight from heaven. And I'll not fail to give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to preach for a little while tonight on the story of your life. The story of your life. I had a message I really wanted to preach so bad. Oh, my, I just wanted to preach it so bad. I wanted to preach it, but I just felt it come on me today, Brother Tommy. I knew what I had to do when I got here tonight. Preach a little while on the story of your life. And once again, I apologize to you at Stuttgart. I apologize for Sister Kathy for having to hear so many stories again. She hates that, but to hope that she'll survive it. I was born 1977 on August the 8th. There was a story that began of a life of Brent Markey. Little boy was born in Charlestown, West Virginia, at the same hospital that my first little boy was born in, the same doctor, Dr. Mahi. Daddy said when I was born that he grabbed me up, and you know you're not supposed to, they let you hold you just for a second. You know, I've been through this 3 times now, and they'll let you hold that newborn baby before they wash it or anything, just for a second. But Dad was so excited, he took off out the door with me, running down the hallway. No, he didn't drop me. Amen. And he got to running, and he got to running in front of him. He said, it was a boy, it's a boy. I told you it was a boy. And then the doctor right on his heel said, come back in here. You can't do that. He was excited. You know, I don't remember that, but that was the story of my life just the same. I look at pictures of me when I was a little baby, and it's all part of my story. I had nothing to do with it, Brother Tommy. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I was born just the same. My mom and daddy took me to church and dedicated me to God when I was just a few weeks old. The story of my life, the first chapter. When I was a couple years old, my daddy began to evangelize. He was evangelizing when I was born, matter of fact. When I was a year or two old, he started pastoring a church in Louisville, Kentucky. He was there for a year and a half. God mightily blessed. And there my mama said that I rocked on the pew. And what daddy was preaching, I'd say praise God and amen and preach it, daddy, at 1.5, 2 years old. Things I don't remember, story of my life. Amen, life went on, and after a year and a half there, dad went back on the road through circumstances beyond his control. The church was out. I won't go into it. It's not a big deal. But anyway, back on the road, God bless. And when I was about 4, my daddy took a little church with 3 women in a place called Amosville, Virginia. And there at 5 and 6, I can begin to remember parts of my life. I can begin to look back, and I can even remember as a kindergartner going to Brother L.D. Savage's school. And there, Brother... Sister Horton taught me kindergarten and taught me how to read. And went into first and second grade under Sister Shirley Settle. Boy, she was a mean old lady, I tell you. Hey, man, I went to school there. She's supposed to be saved, but she sure was grouchy. Oh, maybe I just was mean. I don't know. But we had it. No. Hey, man, I can remember things in my life and how that dad with that little church. I can remember as a boy going down in the basement of that little building, and when it would rain, it would fill that basement with 3 or 4, sometimes 2 or 3 feet of water in the basement of the church. And we'd get down there and bucket it out by buckets and wet and dry. Things that I remember, the story of my life, and life goes on. You know here today that every one of us, one day we had a story that begun in our life. We didn't have nothing to do with the opening chapter. Amen. We do not remember it, but the story was written nonetheless. It began, whether you wanted it to or not. A book was written. The psalmist said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And you know what? I want to stop right here and tell you the importance, amen, of a parent and the influence they have on the story of a child's life.
All right.
I'm not getting in a hurry. I don't have much voice. Can't scream, but I'm going to preach to you here tonight. You might as well get ready.
All right.
I got to reading the story of Samson the other day. And you know what? God not only gave Samson's mama some laws concerning her, but he gave her some laws. He gave her some rules. And he said, you're not to drink any wine. You're not to drink any strong drink. And he laid out a few commandments for her. And I want to tell you something today in this story of Samson's life. Amen. Mama had just the biggest part. Amen. As Samson did. And you know what? We can tell these kids, you don't do this and you don't do that. And we can give them the scripture and the laws of God. Amen. But God has placed in us as parents a responsibility. We have a job to do. We have a part in the story, and I'm going to tell you, if we do not do our part right, we will forever affect the outcome of the story of our children's lives. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, y'all out there tonight. Oh, Brother Collins, things you do, choices you made, steps you take, amen, will forever affect the story of your children's lives. Oh, my God of heaven, I don't want to do anything to alter the course. I don't want to do anything wrong. Amen, when I've got 3 little children, amen, I have started 3 little stories of life. And right now, I'm in control. And the choices I make, y'all ain't getting this tonight. If the house of God doesn't mean anything to me, it's not going to mean anything to them. Amen, if the things of God don't mean anything to me, it's not going to mean anything to them. Amen. We are spending our years as a tale that is told. Woo! The story of life. I can remember going on. Let me finish work on here a little bit more. I can remember as a boy how God, at the age of 10 and 11, I began to feel the call to preach, Brother Clifford. I began to feel that drawing to preach in my life. And I can remember about the age of 13 in a service one night when the Holy Ghost spoke 2 tongues in interpretation and said, I have called thee and I have placed my hand on thee for good. Oh, I'll never, ever forget that night. And Brother Lawrence Wilmoth, a precious man of God, brought forth that message in tongues 3 times that night. And they took out the oil. And though I was just a kid, amen, there was another chapter that began in my life. A chapter is a man with a call of God on his life. I'm going to tell you, no matter how young you are, amen, you may not be able to pastor a church at 12 or 13, but you'll never convince this preacher that God cannot call you as
just a little boy. I said, you'll never convince this preacher that God cannot call you.
14, 15, my daddy left my church at 14 that I was raised up in. And I shed a lot of tears, and we left there. We went on down the road preaching again, and then we began to pioneer the church at Stephen City. I've told you all about that. Amen. And I won't go into it again. I remember at the age of 17 how that God, we went to a revival with Brother Bill Houston one night. And there I laid eyes. I'd seen her at camp meetings. But that night, boys, I found my wife. Woo, glory to God. There's no better place to find your wife than the house of God. Not any house of God, but the Holy Church. And there that night I met my beautiful wife. And we went out to Sea Rose Pizza Place. And I told her I loved her the first time I took her out, Brother Collins. Oh, I'm a fast mover. She knew she loved me, but she didn't have the courage to tell me. Took her about 3 weeks. Amen. I won't go into any more details than that right there. But there, I began to date my wife in June. I graduated, turned 18 in August, and amen, in December, I married my little bride. Oh, my, the story of life. And you know something, Brother Sad? It seemed like in my younger years, the time just went so slow. And I'd never graduate. I'd never get out of school. Amen. But now I've got a wife. And all of a sudden, boom. Amen. Within about 2 years, our first boy. I'll never forget that day when my little boy came into this world. And now life is just picking up pace. Amen. And then 3 years later, little Taylor come along. 14 months later, little Trinity. And I can't even believe today that I've got a wife and 3 kids. And I've been evangelizing 3.5 years. Years, but I'm going to tell you the light doesn't stop for anybody. I want to preach to you tonight that you can't rewind the tape. You can't do it over. You only get one pass. You only get one chance. And you better do it right. Stay with me now. I'm just laying a little found. I'll preach to you in a minute. I kind of got my wife upset at me. When I told this to Stuttgart, but I'm going to tell it here for the sake of you young people. And my wife was God's will for me. Let's get that straight right start. But I began to talk about the mercy of God in my life, Brother Clifford. I began to talk. You know, when I was 17 or 18, that just wasn't the most spiritual time in life. I was coming to church. I was trying to serve God. But to be honest, you're in between that stage where you're still part kid. You still got a lot of kid in you, but you want to be a man. And you're right there in the middle, Sister Casey. And I thank God for the prayers of the saints. And give God this mercy. Led me to the right wife, Brother Collins. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I've got preacher's friends tonight. And they want to do something for God so bad. Amen, but they can't because their wives won't go along with them. I said, their wives won't go along with them. And they made a choice, Sister Kathy. Amen. It's no telling what they could have done for God. It ain't no telling what a blessing they could have been. Because they married the wrong one who would not surrender to God's will. Tonight they must sit on a pew somewhere and do their best to serve God and help a pastor. Amen. Because they married the wrong one. And the story of their life, it was forever changed. Amen. Well, I've got a burden tonight. I wish I could preach this like I feel it. My God of heaven, Clifford. Amen, you're getting to that age. Bubba, where you're in that, you still got a lot of kid in you. Amen, I know you think you're a man, but you'll look back one day and realize what a still snotty nosed brat you are. No. Amen, you'll realize you look back in the struggle and you want a wife, but you want God's will. And I'm telling you, if you ain't careful, you can make a decision that will forever change the story of your life. Amen, it will write what might have been, what could have been, or what we wished had been. Ah, the story of life. There have been so many who had such potential, who had such promise, but one wrong decision forever erased it. One wrong move forever changed the destiny of their life. Oh, I wanted to shout y'all tonight, preach something shouting, but I must preach on the story of life.
Now, Brother Tongs, I need that pen. I forgot mine tonight. Now, let me explain this to you. Have you ever read a biography, brother? And it said the story of George W. Bush, written with. Huh? Y'all got what I'm saying here now? And it's the way it is in life. You see, we're all free moral agents. We do not believe in predestination. God gives every man a choice. God gives every young lady a choice. And he says, okay, now here's how it's going to be. You can have the pen. You can write your story with the help of the devil. Or you can write your story with the help of God. It is your choice. Who you want to help write the story of your life. I'm going to tell some things over. Y'all heard, but it's just my burden tonight. I told him it's Stuttgart. I told him about my little sister-in-law. I hate to tell this to my wife here. Amen, but it's just like some of you. There's some of you when I preach this message tonight, you're going to sit there and cry because your life is a wreck. Your life is a mess. But you know what you better do? You better scream amen the loudest. Amen, because I'm going to preach these young people about the story of life. And if you're here and your life's in a disaster, amen, because of a bad decision or a wrong choice, you better shout amen so I can spare somebody else the torture that you're going through. My sister-in-law, amen, she used to play the drums. Brother Shad's better. She'd let out a scream and make her hair stand up on the back of your head, boys and girls. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the power of God. Amen, but an old boy come along, set up you crocodile tears on an altar. We said that boy's brother Clinton Galler told us that boy's demon possessed. You better let him alone. But she done very love. I told y'all about it. Well, the last time I talked to you, she had a husband that wasn't treating her right. And two little babies. But I guess there's a little more of the sad story tonight. Tonight she ain't got no husband. And she's got three babies to raise by herself. I'm preaching on the story of life. And you young people, just one wrong decision, saying I do the wrong one at the altar, can forever take away what God wanted to do with your life.
You see, she had the pen. And when you open the pages, born into the home of a holiness preacher. A life full of promise. A life full of potential. But somewhere around the age of 16 or 17, the co-author didn't get too good. Oh, God. And a story that you read that's precious and beautiful as you read along. And you say, my, there's no telling what this story's going to end up like. All of a sudden it gets dark. It gets gloomy. It gets discouraging. It's full of despair. It's full of sleepless nights. It's full of a lot of tears. I got to heaven. I'm telling you, you better give the pen to Jesus Christ. And you say, you write the story. And I'll just go along. You can't afford to give the devil the pen in the story of your life.